That was just sweet worship, amen? Thank you, God, for that. I just want you to think about that one line in there that just, I melt in your peace. I melt in your peace. And how much we need that today. Our children are on their way to Sunday school, and we're just going to bless them in the name of the Lord. And we come here to worship God, and we come here to build each other up. We come here to remind each other that we're children of the living God and that we need Him. And I'm just thinking about how cool that is, that last line, how it fits in. You know, Rob and I, we don't talk about the service ahead of time. We just want the Holy Spirit to lead things. Well, I know the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you in His peace today. And that we need to melt in His peace. And there have been a lot of hard things. There's been a lot of hard things, and we have things that are struggles and things that we don't get, things that we don't understand. There's health issues. There's hard deaths. This week it was a really hard death. Some of you were part of that, with a 17-year-old took her life. We're going to close that door as soon as we can. Just, you know, we need to melt in His peace. I don't know where else you can go. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There's nowhere else to go. You can go all kinds of other places, but the only one who can give me real peace is Jesus. And He does it through a spirit of peace. And that's going to be the message today. And He just, you know, He wants us to know that He cares about us, that He loves us, and that He's going to be there. No matter what, He's there for us. Yesterday, I had a great opportunity. It was really, as a grandfather, I love doing this. We were able to go to St. Albert. One of my grandsons was turning 4. And so my son and daughter-in-law and their 2 kids, we all got one car, and we went up to St. Albert for the birthday party. And I love telling grandkids stories. So my granddaughter, who was in the car, and I just love being in the car, I get to have her for 4 hours this way. And Crystal's reading books to her, and we're just having a great time. Her name is Olivia, and she's watching everything, and she's 3 years old, and she's looking at everything around her, and she loves to see cows or horses. And so we would say, and she was sitting in the back, so she couldn't see what we could see. Some horses are coming. Some horses are coming. And I would say to her, do you see them yet or not yet? Do you see them yet or not yet? And she goes, yet. Yet. And I think, you know, God's saying that to us too. Do you see my love for you yet or not yet? Do you see that you don't need to be afraid anymore? Do you see it yet or not yet? And we need to say yet. Have you attained my peace? You know, do you feel my big arms around you yet or not yet? Yet. Yet, right? I mean, that's what we want to celebrate. That's what we remember today. And I was thinking that it'd be great today just to be thankful. Wouldn't that be great? When you read the scriptures and you read what worship is really all about, and we read the Psalms of David, they are just saturated in gratitude. So why can't we just be grateful today and think about the things that God has been doing in our lives and just say, yet, God, yet I see you, yet you are my King, yet you forgive me, yet you love me, yet you're with me, even in the storm, you're with me, yet, right? So we're going to do that this morning, and I don't know if Elvin's here or not. Maybe you went back camping, you just showed up for a little bit, I don't know. So who's going to, I need a couple people on microphone, so yeah, Chad, would you take this mic? And we're going to think of some of the things, we're going to surround our praises today with gratitude. We're going to praise God and think about what He's done in our lives. And like I usually encourage you to do, don't make this big and long, but just think about what you're thankful for, and let's share that together as we are grateful to Him. What are you thankful for today? How can you praise God? Here we go. We got our first couple. We got lots of people. Good.
I just, singing that one song, it's, I can't even remember the words, mm-hmm. But it said about here, something about here, and it was here, like 7 years ago today, that I got clean and sober. Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Teresa.
I'm thankful for the work that the Lord is doing in my life, the healing that he's doing, and the teaching that he's doing. I've been reading a book on the Holy Spirit, and he's been teaching me that he is a person, he is real, and that he loves us, and that he wants to be our friend.
Thank you, God. Marilise, and then Rob.
Me, I want to thank Jesus for the most precious gift of all, the gift of salvation. Because a life plus salvation means spend going to heaven and spend our life with him. And the gift of salvation is the most beautiful gift of all. And I give him thanks, glory, honor, and praise.
Barbara.
A year and a half ago, I left for BC to help my parents and then came back here. And what I did was when I left, I thought I'll be there for I don't know how long. So I just sort of gave away everything I had. And then God wanted me back here. The circumstances kind of pointed back here. So I came back here and was living with my sister and brother-in-law. The time was right. I was able to move out, and there was such a sense of freedom. I'm just so thankful for freedom that God has given me, and there's just this joy that abounds. I don't know, man. I'm just like, cool. Wow. Anyway, also, people have been so generous. I mean, golly, if I start naming names, it'd be everyone in here probably. Generous with items, you know, that are bringing, and a couple of people even brought back a few of my favorite things that they kept, right? And they brought back and said, hey, this is yours again. And so it's been like, I feel so loved, but then I feel abundantly loved. And I guess I just never, you know, materialistically and spiritually, like, really felt that before. Or maybe I have, but this time it's like, gift after gift, and it's not the material part, it's the love that you know people are showing, like, you know, here's some money, buy a colander, here's a, you know, buy a grater, whatever, and just bringing things, and so I'm just this abundance, I guess, of love that I'm getting, you know, from God and from God's
Thank
people.
You God.
It's just amazing. Like, I'm just wow, still on the
Thank roof. You God for your abundance. Hallelujah. And if anyone has that toaster that she gave away a couple years ago, Rob.
And yet, even in spite of myself, God still loves me. Mm-hmm. No matter what storm the devil may throw at me or that I may throw at myself, God still loves me and never gives up. That's I'm good. Thankful for that.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Here we go. We're thanking God, right? Thank you, Lord. We got so much to thank him for.
Hi. You know how people go on so many diets and they can't lose like a single weight because they get so frustrated? For me, I lost close to 50 pounds without no diet at all. Whew. By trusting Jesus. Every day, I pray victory over myself and over my family, and we're doing pretty good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I see so many people frustrated with their lives. I mean, unhappy. I say you should pray victory over yourself. And like this, I declare in Jesus' name, I'm always happy every day. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me a wonderful person. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now we're going. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we're going to get there. Christy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine, and I almost said I'm an alcoholic. Anyways, I just thank God that he just gives us what we need. And, you know, I don't even know what I need at times, eh? And so I've reconnected with my friend Nick here after... He says 22 years, but I say about 25 years. And Nick is blind. We met at college, and we just kind of hung out together and everything. And then he went to Calgary, and we are we didn't run into each other for that many years. And about a month ago, I was at City Rose Coffee, and he was there, and I butt in front of him, which is not, it's not a character for me to butt in front of people. And it was so weird, and the server turned to him, and he called him by name. And so I turned to him, and I said, Nick, did you go to the college? And, you know, I mean, God brings people into our lives,
right.
It just gives us so much, eh?
Yeah.
To be reconnected with someone and to, you know, just to love them all over again. Eh? And I just thank God for what he does in our lives and the people he gives us. And
praise
it's just
God.
So wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
And Nick, we're glad you're here. Amen. I think there's someone here. Go ahead, Doug.
Amen. As Don read that scripture before we started, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's so true. And I did a word study a while ago on hesed, H-E-S-S-E-D. It's a Hebrew word out of the Old Testament. And sometimes it's translated mercy, which is kind of tame. But sometimes it's translated loving kindness. And it's about God's abundant, unconditional, agape, loving kindness. And how he's just so amazing that way, despite of what we do, which is, I'm still trying to get through my head, right? Anyway, I just wrote this during that last worship song. It was a couple little rhymes. Forgive me, Lord, for lustful dreams, lying, empty, demonic schemes. Fill me with hesed love, washing my soul. The sovereign, holy, obedient one made me whole. Wash me again in mercy and grace. I've seen you before, eternal face. One day I'll be in you, know as I am known. I long for the day you receive me home.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you, precious Jesus. I don't know if any of you really know what's been happening in my life, and it's been a real struggle. And through this time of I could have gone the other way, marched away, started drinking, started doing the drugs that people are so fond of.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's brought me through all that, and I've watched a lot of friends that continue to do all that stuff, and he's kept me.
That's right.
And I still don't have a place to live, and the people, part of me was just like, "What? How can you hang on?" And I said, "There's nowhere to go. The only one that I have is Jesus, and he keeps me, and I'm just gonna trust in him." And I know that many of you are praying for me and stuff and holding me up, and you know, I could go on and on about all my troubles, you know, but I just know that there is nowhere else to go. And you remember that when you're going through trials, that there is nowhere to go.
That's
but
right.
To Jesus.
That's
and
right.
The throne. Oh,
amen.
Praise God. Thank you. Oh, and yet, yeah. I forgot.
Good word. That's good word. Amen. Amen.
Amen. A couple of weeks ago, when I was sleeping there and just meditating on the word, the Lord gave me this dream. That was really potent, hey. And in this dream, I was in the middle of the ocean, and I'm on this boat in the front of the boat, and I'm going through hurricane winds and waves. It's the biggest storm possible that we could ever go through. I'm looking to my left and my right, these boats are upside down. And we're going on and gone and on, but my trust was in God. And all of a sudden, at the end of the dream, I came, the skies were just clear, completely. The ocean was just like a sheet of glass, and I came to a beach, and I stepped off the boat and topped onto a rock, which is Jesus Christ, my rock, my foundation.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful to the Lord. It doesn't matter. Whatever storm you're going through, he will pull you through whatever pit you're in. There are so many ladders and ropes in there for you to climb out. He gives you the opportunity. Just call unto him, because he promised you he would never leave you or forsake
exactly.
you. just completely seek Him and trust Him and mm-hmm. just put your hope in God, because, man, if God is for you, who could be against you? You know, He's given you the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're a new creation. All those things are passed away, and behold, you are a new creation in Christ. Let go of the past.
Yes.
And just give your heart and surrender completely to God, because we are going to go through trials and struggles. It doesn't matter, hey, because that's persevering in our faith. And we're just going to make us stronger and stronger. And mm-hmm. Like God says, I am for you, and who can be against you? And exactly. I will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
Forgive me if my voice cracks. But this is just what I'm really grateful for, that He's doing for His people. And just to encourage anyone that is feeling weary to just not give up and to look up. Because He says that the New Jerusalem is our mother, and she pours out her rivers of life and her streams. Now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord, the one who made you, says, the one who formed you in the womb and helps you. Don't be afraid, my servant Jacob, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the parched ground and cause streams to flow on the dry land. I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your children. Mm-hmm. They will sprout up like a tree in the grass, like poplars beside channels of water. One will say, I belong to the Lord, and another will use the name Jacob. One will write on his hand, the Lord, and use the name Israel.
Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. We got time for just a couple more. Ricky and Joyce, what are you thankful for? Here comes the mic. You're thankful for Joyce, and Joyce is thankful for Ricky.
I have to thank him for an awful lot of things. The scripture that I read this morning, fear not, I am with you, was reality a couple of times in my life, and I dare almost not testify to what I'm going to say now, but I feel under the leading of the Holy Spirit, I have that liberty. A couple of months ago, I ended up in the hospital because I thought I had broken my arm, and I think I did. Anyways, when they took my blood pressure, that nurse looked at me, and she looked, and she said, I can't read your blood pressure. It's so high, I can't believe it. She took it again, and there was no change. She took it again, and there was no change. It was so high, and I had never felt that. I felt always really good. And then it was time to go to the emergency room, and they took it again, and there was no change. She said, this is not good. She said, you have to go see the doctor tomorrow morning. This is not good. So she took it again and again, and there was no change. They couldn't read it. And I went home, and I don't know, there was such a peace over me, I just couldn't even go to the doctor the next morning. And I kept on walking, and I'm still walking. Once in a while, I go to Superstore and take the blood pressure. It has come down considerably, but it is not to a point where I think it is really good. But the peace, it is so true that when He says, I'm with you, He means what He says, He's with you. And so, with great thankfulness, daily, I look to Him, because it's Him that's upholding me, none other.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I can praise God for lots of things. But just recently, about a year ago, I started at this job. Well, it was the worst job I had. It was the worst. I couldn't believe it. I mean, even when they come to connect up my computer and that, the girls in there said, we don't want her in here. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, what have I got myself into here? You know, but it was tough many times. I lived on Advil probably for 4 months for headaches and just to keep myself going. And honestly, I didn't love too many of them. But God said to me one day, I want you to love them. And I said, are you joking? And he said, no. He said, I love them, and I want you to love them. And I said, oh, God, I don't love them. So if you want me to do that, you'll have to put that heart in me. And he did. And I was able to witness to almost everybody there.
Wow.
And just love them. And last Thursday was my last day. One of the girls just cried, and she was one of the girls that was not nice to me when I started there. And she just cried that I was leaving, and they just kept saying, we don't want you to go, Joyce. We don't want you to go. Like, there's nobody like you. And I said, you wouldn't want to of me. But, yeah, it was amazing how God changed it and changed me in my heart. So I just want to praise God that, you know what, I can be honest with him when I don't love somebody. I can tell him, and he'll help me to just do that, change my heart. And I'm just grateful for that. And I'm grateful that I am retired. Woo!
Okay. Amen. Let's pray. So God, thank you that you're here. And there's so many things that we want to praise you for. And all of these things that we have voiced today are for your glory. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the promise that you keep, that you never leave us, and that you're never going to forsake us. Thank you that you are our peace. When we're going through really hard times, when we're going through the river, or when we pass through the fire, you're always there with us. And thank you that you provide. And so we pray today for Bernice, and we pray, Lord, for others. Who are needing housing, for Louise as well, God, and for the needs that we have in this body, God, just as we come before you today, this morning, there's a number of things we need in our lives, and only you can provide those things. So we're grateful that you promised to do that and that you continue to care for us. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for this community, and that we can hold each other up and that we can appreciate each other and provide for each other the best we can, but that we belong to you, the head, and that we come under your authority and under your headship in this place too, God. We pray today, especially for those who are hurting or who are grieving. Pray for Shannon today as she is just in such a dark place. We pray that you'll comfort her. We pray, God, that you would impart your peace, that she would melt into your peace, into your arms of peace today for all the hard things that she's had to do. And as she had to bury her daughter this week, God, we just remember her. And we don't have any words. There's nothing that we can say to fix this or to make it better. But we trust you, God, and we trust that you are a God of all comfort and that you care and that you can turn evil into good. And so we just ask you, God, to do that, Lord. We want to worship you. We want to exalt you. We declare our absolute need for you, God. There's lots of things in our lives that are broken or hurting. We're empty without you. We have nothing if we don't have you. We've lived for years without you, Lord. We know what that was like. And we're so grateful for living with you in our lives. And I pray today that you will make your presence and your love for us even more real. That we will experience the tangible reaching out of your arms as you hold us in your embrace. And that we'll hear your word in our ear, it's going to be all right, my child. This is going to be all right because I love you and I am your God. We need that today, God. Thank you, too, for your word. And so just, we invite you today to speak. Let your word be fresh. Let this be the truth of your word. And Lord, that your peace would just be imparted to every one of us. We need your peace. We live in a world that's so in upheaval, and there's so much stress and so many fears. We're grateful that we don't need to have those things dominate our lives, that you're a God of great peace. So just teach us today. And we don't want this just to be a bunch of words. So we pray that your word would take action today, that we'll not just hear, but we'll experience it, we'll feel it. Our hearts will melt with a peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning here, I just invite you to turn to John chapter 20. The last while we've been focusing on the resurrected Lord, and that after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to lots of different people, and that he made himself known, and that he made it very clear that he was alive. And man, that's good news. You know, if he's not, then there's no reason for us to be here, right? And we believe in that resurrection of Christ. We believe that there's life and that there's hope. And I can see some of the tears today that are flowing from some of your faces. And it's just a reminder. I just want to remind you today that God really loves you and that there is life and there's hope. There really is through him. Let's read this passage from John chapter 20. And it's just that last week we talked a little bit about Thomas. It's kind of part of the same time frame. In John chapter 20, Jesus appears to his disciples. I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. John 20, verse 19, that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I'm just going to stop there. Two times in this passage, two times Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And sometimes if you read the commentators or biblical scholars, they say, well, that's just a normal greeting. And it was. It's the way they greeted. It's the way they still greet each other today. Shalom. You know, peace be with you. But the interesting thing is that Jesus never actually said that any other time in the scripture, that the only time that he actually used that greeting was after the resurrection, where he says it two times in this passage, which I think is noteworthy. Peace be with you. Peace be unto you. And that he's doing more than just saying hi, right? We do that all the time. Hi, how are you? Fine, right? How are you? Doing real good. We're not doing real good, you know, but we just say those kinds of things. This is more, and we need to understand this today. This today was more than Jesus just going, "Hey, how you guys doing?" This was Jesus going, "Peace be with you. My peace I impart to you. My peace, my shalom, I give you." And by that I mean shalom, the wholeness. That's what that word means. It's completeness. It's rest. I love that word, rest. I think that's really a big part of shalom. My rest. You can just take a deep sigh of relief. You can breathe out. Because my peace I give you. My shalom, my rest, the wholeness, the completeness. That's what that word means. It's a way deeper word than what English can even translate. It's not just shalom. There's so much more involved in that. It's the wellness and the wholeness and the rest that's ours in Christ. That's ours in Christ. And this is no surprise, but I mean, we all know that we live in a world where there's a whole lot of unrest and no peace, right? People chasing after all kinds of things and not finding the peace and the rest and the wholeness and that breath, you know, of the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them, it says, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, we got a whole world of people that don't know about that, and they're chasing after all kinds of things. And the problem is, we're really bad spellers. That's the problem. We're terrible spellers because we should be seeking after peace, P-E-A-C-E, but instead, the world, we're chasing after peace, P-I-E-C-E. And when you're chasing after a peace, no matter what that a piece is, or a piece of what it is, you're never going to find it, you're never going to be happy, and you're never going to attain the P-E-A-C-E, the rest and the completeness and the wholeness that we're talking about today. That's the problem. We have a world chasing after a piece. They want more. If I just had more, you know, we think then I'm going to be happy. We chase after lots of pieces. I want my piece of the pie. That's how people live. I don't know what that piece is, but I want my piece of the pie. And I don't want you to have any of my piece of the pie. And if anything, if anything, I'd like to have a little extra piece, just a little bit more, right? The world is chasing after peace, P-I-E-C-E. A piece of rock for a drug addict. Or if you're an investment analyst, it's a piece of the rock. But it's still a piece, right? A piece of the action. That's what we want. That's what I'm living for. I need a piece of the action. I need more fun. I need more excitement. I need more thrills in my life. I need a piece of the action. You're never going to find real peace. I don't care how many bungee cords you jump off of. You're never going to find a real peace unless you come to know Jesus Christ. The problem is, here's what you need to understand, is that peace is not in a thing. Peace is in a person. The real heart of what we're talking about is that our peace comes to us through Jesus, through a person, not through a bit of anything else, no matter what that bit is. You think more money would give you peace? Well, it wouldn't. It really doesn't satisfy. And so we live in a world where there's all kinds of people who are not satisfied, and they're looking for more, and they're searching for more, and they're digging for more, and trying to get a bigger peace, when what they really need is just Jesus. Our peace is not in a thing. It's not in an it. Our peace is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen? Micah. Thanks, Don. Don's getting me going here. In Micah, we're told, this is before Jesus was even born, that a Savior would come to you, and he'd be the ruler of Israel. And then it says in Micah 5, and he will be your peace. You see, your peace is not in any of that stuff out there, not in all the stuff they're trying to sell you in Walmart and Costco. Your peace is in a person, and that person is the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus, right? And in this passage today, Jesus makes it really clear that it's his peace that he wants to leave with us. And I want you to see today that the connection here is so much to the peace that we receive through the Holy Spirit. And that what's really lacking in our lives, and sometimes in our lives even here today, is we just need more of an understanding of the Holy Spirit who's living in us. That what's, when you're lacking peace, let me try to make this clear today. When you're lacking peace, when there's fear maybe that's dominating you, when maybe it's sickness or worry or whatever it is, what we really need is the Holy Spirit to rise up. He needs to rise up inside of us, right? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Look at that passage. Let's open it up. Because it doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God's word says. So let me read that for you again, just so you get this. Jesus came to his disciples. He stood among them. This is verse 19. He says, peace be with you. And then after he showed them his hands and his side, the disciples were overjoyed because they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace I leave with you. Right? And now listen to this though. And with that, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You get this? Two times he says, I'm going to leave peace with you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Sorry, I don't have a Tic Tac. But you receive it, right? And just as he's talking about leaving the peace, he says, now I breathe on you and receive this peace. That's what he's saying. I breathe on you, and here is the peace that you really need in this life. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's the peace is a person, is exactly right. Back up a couple of chapters to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 25. And here it is prior to Jesus dying on the cross, but he's talking about that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's talking about how important the Holy Spirit's going to be. He's talking about, he's saying, you need the Holy Spirit and you need me to leave, and I'm going to pour the Holy Spirit into you, and you're going to know the comfort of the Spirit. He's going to teach you all things. Man, it's going to be unbelievable. And this happened at Pentecost, of course, right? I'm going to endow you with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what he says here. Verse 25. All this I've spoken while I was still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. I have said to you, now get this, I have said to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Wow. Do you understand? He says, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and then he goes, and my peace I give to you now. That what's being sent, that this peace is the Holy Spirit, okay? And I mean, we know that from Galatians as well, that one of the great fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace, right? Love, joy, and peace. Do you have it? Do you have that peace? Do you have that person? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And some of the people that we're dealing with, some of the people that you're ministering to or praying with, some of the ones that we know, maybe some people here today who are struggling. Maybe you're struggling with depression or suicide or with fear or with anger. You need the Holy Spirit, right? There's people we know, they need the Holy Spirit in their lives. I don't have an answer. I don't have any other answer. It isn't like there's three or four. Pick your choice, you know, A, B, C, or D. There's only one. It's only the Holy Spirit. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life, I can tell you this. Some of you who knew me years ago would just nod your head. Yeah, that guy'd be lost. He'd be done. He'd be a goner. You know, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life, I wouldn't have any hope. I would not understand forgiveness. There would be no peace. I would still be chasing after whatever the next thing was. The biggest lie in the whole world, and it's a lie that the enemy perpetuates, the biggest lie is that if you just get a little bit more, you're going to be happy. You just need a bigger peace. The problem, the world says, is your portion. The problem is you're poor. You're not getting enough. You deserve more. The problem, listen, is not a portion. It's that you need a person. Not a portion, but a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Yeah? And he loves you. He loves you. And we need to learn to start praying in this way. We need to learn to start working with people who are struggling or who are going through really hard times and praying for the Holy Spirit to fill and to captivate their lives, because he is the only hope that we have. Jesus sent the Spirit when he went to be with the Father. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He'll be your counselor. He will teach you. He will remind you of all things. You need him in you, right? We need to start praying. I can think of a number of people in my life, people that need something. They're broken, or they're hurting, or they're angry, or they're just afraid. I know one person I talked to this week, and she said, I'm just tired. I'm too tired to do anything. I just want to die. That person needs the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot go to the 7-Eleven store and buy a quart of the Holy Spirit. But I know a Savior who can pour the Holy Spirit into that person, and I'm praying for that. That's what Jesus says. That's what he means when he says, I want you to be filled with me, because that's where life comes from. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about life. We have every reason to live. Right? I have reason to be joyful. I have reason to pour out my love on you and all kinds of other people because the Holy Spirit is in me. Yeah. Yeah. Right? You see, what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives is he's taken away all the reasons for no peace. Like, for example, I'm forgiven. I'm no longer condemned. I'm no longer dead. I'm alive. Right? I'm alive, and that's the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, there's life. There's life. Right? Like I say many times, if you're really alive, you ought to look it. Right? I mean, be alive, right? We are filled with the Holy Spirit. If the world sees us as, you know, oh, yeah. Yeah. There he goes again. Shirt untucked. Man, I mean, we're alive. The reason why, I'm trying to explain, is the reason why there's peace in my life is that the Holy Spirit has removed anything that stole that peace. And that includes my sin, that includes my condemnation, that includes my old life. All of that is gone, man. It's gone. I don't live that way anymore. Amen? But here's the thing. I need a drink. Where did I put that? Just before I get, I need a drink before I get to this part. Here's the thing about the Holy Spirit is that, and this is really the truth, and I run into people like this all the time, that they go, yeah, listen to that guy. I want a bit of this. I want a piece of this. Man, I want a piece of this Holy Spirit. Here's the thing, you can't have just a piece. And you're still spelling poorly, by the way, because it's the wrong piece. Here's the thing. You need the Holy Spirit, that person, to live completely in you. You need to be captivated by Him. You need to be sold out to God and to Christ. And you can't just have a little piece. There are so many people, and you know these people too, they just want a little bit of God. You know, is it okay if I pray with you? I said this somewhere. This week I was in a hospital visiting an old cranky guy that I've known for years. I've asked him many times, is it okay if we pray? He said, no, I don't believe any of that. This week he was in the hospital. I said, John, can I pray for you? And he goes, well, I guess it can't hurt. So, but you know, there's lots of people like that. I just want a little bit of God, is what they're saying. Yeah, I guess a little bit would be okay. Just give me a little bit. It's a nice insurance thing, and if I have a little bit of God in my life, then if I die, then maybe they'll be able to say some nice things about me that, you know, I had a little bit of God. But listen, you need all of God. We need the entire Holy Spirit inside of us. And the question, really, it's about, and I hate to use, I'm sorry if I'm using a poker term, but either you are all in or you are all out. Honestly. Are you all in? Are you ready to push the chips to the middle of the table and say, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm tired of trying to just have a little part of you in my life. I want all of you in my life, and I am going to be completely yours. Because that's where your peace is going to come. You're going to have a perfect peace. You're going to have a life. Man, you're going to be bubbling. You are going to be bouncing off the walls like no drug has ever been able to do to you. Because you got the real life that comes from the life giver. Amen? Amen. Amen. Man, it's time we start living this way. I don't want to hang around with a bunch of religious, dusty people. I want to hang around with people who are alive. Right? Like the heart is actually beating. There's a pulse. There's a spiritual pulse. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a little bit, but filled with Him. Right? Man, I'm praying that for people. They need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And now we need to talk about one more thing. And that is the authority of the Holy Spirit. It is no mistake that when Jesus breathed on them, and when twice he says, receive the peace, it's no mistake that when he breathed on them, he said, and whoever you forgive, that's his authority, right? Whoever you forgive will be forgiven, and whoever you don't forgive will not be forgiven. There's authority in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Do you believe that? Let me say that again. There's authority. You have authority in the Holy Spirit who lives in you. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom. And, I mean, when Dad gives you the keys, that's a big deal. He says, here's the Ferrari, go. Yeah, I know, my dad didn't have one of those either. But it's about authority, right? It's about trust. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or release on earth will be released in heaven. I'm going to give you the keys. You have authority to do something about this. And it's about time that you did something about it. It is. You have authority. You have authority. Here's a thought, and I've been reading this in Dutch Sheets this last little while, reading one of his books, I think he's right on. He talks about how we have, or Satan has power, but he really doesn't have any authority anymore. He has power, but the authority that Satan had has been taken away from him. He has been thrown down from heaven, and Jesus has died on the cross. His blood has removed the authority that he once had. So why are we still allowing him to speak authority into our lives? Because he has no right to do so, right? It's none at all. And so we can speak with authority against, and this is really biblical, I'm not making this up. We can speak with authority against sickness or against depression or suicidal thoughts. Or maybe you got a terrible temper. You can take authority over it and say, no more, right? Or maybe there's lots of desire, or it's pornography or something that's secret in your life. You can take authority over it. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. What it means, this is really important, you need to be completely surrendered, first of all, to the Lord, because he has all the authority, right? He is the author. He is the creator. He's the designer. So we can't miss out this step. I need to completely surrender my life to him. I am under your authority, Jesus, under the authority of the Holy Spirit. But when that happens and you acknowledge the authority of the author, then you can take authority. You can bind what needs to be bound, and you can release what needs to be released. We need to learn how to do that. A couple of years ago, I'm going to need another drink. A couple of years ago, I was going through an A&W drive-thru. I can tell you that today because my wife's in a nursery, so I'm not supposed to be going through the drive-thru at A&W. And I'm not always, I'm normally pretty good, I'm normally well-behaved, but this particular time, driving through the A&W drive-thru, I came to the window, and the young man said, he had the whole order, except he said, I don't have your onion rings. Can you just pull your truck up into a little space, and we'll bring it to you in a few minutes? And he was wearing the orange and brown cap, you know, and he had the tag on his shirt, who he was. But you see, the thing was, I had done that a couple weeks ago, and they didn't come. So, I pulled my truck out to the front, and I waited, and finally I had to go in and get my the part of the meal that wasn't ready. So he looked at me, and he said, sir, there's some people behind you. Can you just pull up ahead, and we'll bring you the onion rings? And I said, no. I don't think that's a very good idea, because I did this a couple weeks ago, and you didn't come. So, no, I'm going to wait, and these guys don't even, they think it's your fault. They don't think it's my fault. So I'm just going to wait, and let's just see what happens. And this is what he said to me, and again, he had his orange hat on, and he had the brown on the orange hat, and he looked at me, and he said, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to push, to move ahead. I said, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to pull your truck ahead. And I looked at him again, and I said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I know, and it just really looks bad for me. And I know that I'm being rude when I did this, and so in a way I'm confessing this, but I'm saying it though because the guy really didn't have any authority to move me. You know, he had a nice cap, and he could say, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to move your truck ahead, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm going. I think while we have this discussion, I didn't say this, but I think while we have this discussion, the onion rings are going to get done. And then you can just bring them and then I'll go, okay? The point is, I'm going to get a lot of emails about this. Man, you're a rude, and I thought you're supposed to love everyone and be kind. And so, okay, I did that wrong. I know that whole part of that wasn't, you know, I'm not real proud of that, okay? But the point is, the enemy has that kind of authority. He doesn't have authority. He wears a funny hat. And he says, okay, I think you're not going to go to heaven, or I think you should kill yourself, or I think you need to be afraid of this. I don't care what you think. I don't think so. Right? He doesn't have authority. I don't care what kind of hat he has. I don't care what kind of uniform they give him. He has been defeated by my Lord, Jesus Christ. He has been defeated. And he still wields some power. We see it. But he's got no authority, because the authority has been given to me as long as I surrender to the Lord who is Jesus. Amen? I think I got time for one more story. This has happened a long time ago, but my kids were little. I think I only had two at the time, or we only had two at the time. We were in Leduc, and we were driving on 2A, and some guy who was really drunk came up behind me and almost hit us in the back, and he was driving a pickup truck, and he went whistling by us and just kept going, and I was young, and this is going to probably be hard to believe, but I used to get angry about stuff like that. I know, it's surprising. But so, I mean, I stepped on the gas, and I thought, no way. You know, I could just see he was driving. He was all over the road. And I came alongside him. I was driving my car, and Krista was there, and the kids in the back. And I pulled up next to him, and I just went, just like that. Like, no fooling around. I gave him the finger. And he looked at me. And he knew I meant business. So he pulled his truck over. This is working. So I got out of my car, and I went to his, and his window was rolled down, and I reached in, and I grabbed the keys out of his ignition, and I says, get out of there right now. And I grabbed him by the back of the neck. I says, you're coming with me. This is a true story. I says, you're coming with me, and he could barely speak a word. There were bottles all over the place. I put him next to Crystal in the front seat. We brought him to the Leduc police station. I said, I'm making a citizen's arrest. I'm taking authority here. Right? Anyway, long, long story, but the point is, let's get to the point. If you have authority, you should act like you have authority. Sometimes you've got to just grab it by the scruff of the neck and say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm not putting up with this enemy. I'm not putting up with these suicidal thoughts. I'm not putting up with this fear anymore. I am going to use the authority that I've been given from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and I'm going to exert his authority where it needs to be exerted in this world. Amen? Can you clap about that? Do you get the matter? You understand what God's saying today? You have authority. You can bind what needs to be bound on earth. And it will be bound in heaven. You can release things that need to be released. There are some people in our lives, they need you to be doing this. They need you to be praying for them. They need you to do what they can't do themselves. You can release this. You can stand in the gap. You can be Christ. With the authority that Christ has given you, you can be Christ in their place. And that's a biblical principle. And in doing so, we get such great peace, right? There's just this peace that comes over us because of the Holy Spirit who's living inside. The peace in me is a real peace in me. That doesn't mean that you're dull or you're, you know, don't have any life. No, you know, that's not what I'm saying. There's a sense of calm. There's a sense of knowing that God's in control, and there's a rest that no matter what, God knows what he's doing. And he wants to give you that peace. And I don't know what's unsettling you today. I'm not sure. I can take some guesses. I'm not sure what he's saying, what that enemy who has no authority. I don't know what he's whispering to you. He might be telling you that you're not any good. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never get over the drugs. Never. You'll never be able to beat this. He is a liar. He's a terrible, terrible liar. Well, he's a good liar, but he's a terrible, terrible Satan. And what Jesus wants you to know today is, I just want to give you my peace. And it's real, and it is everything you need. So I don't know how Satan is attacking you. I don't know exactly what that, because that's, you know, whatever that lack of peace is, the stress and the fear, and you can't sleep about stuff. Give it to Jesus. Give it to him. This morning we're going to conclude our service maybe a little different way than normal. And it's sort of based on the premise that this is actually true. This is really true stuff. And that when Jesus said, "My peace I give to you," he meant more than just hi, okay? So if it's true that there's something really powerful when Jesus said, "Here is my peace, and I want you to have it," then we want to leave today receiving the peace, that it's going to be tangible, that it might come with a touch, or it might come with a word. We say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." That there's something powerful in that, that I'm not sure we get. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your family. And that's not just a shallow greeting. There's something powerful in that, right? That the peace of Christ give you rest. The peace of Christ let you take a deep breath today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to believe this today. That there's power, real power, when we say those words. The words Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." And here's what's going to happen. So Don and Mark, I know none of you guys know this is happening. Come on up here. And Jerry and Gladys, please. And Ted and Cheryl, would you come up too, please? I want about 8 people. So there's 6. And would you come up as well? And I want a couple leaders. So Doug and Charlene, would you guys come up too? Just make a line here. Just stand like this. That's good. There's no test afterwards, and you're all very capable of doing this. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to do what the Bible says. And there may be some people who need more prayer, and you can take them aside, or there's a prayer room, bring them in there, or take them to the corner or somewhere else. Pray with them if they need more ministry. But as they walk past you, just say, "The peace of Christ I give to you. May the peace of the Lord rest upon you." Or, "Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Let's just do this. Like, let's just believe that this is actually important. That there's a reason why it's in the Bible. And that maybe I need to get that peace. Can we do that today? If you're really uncomfortable with that, you can go. Whatever. But I encourage you not to do that. I encourage you just to walk. We're going to start and go this way. I'm going to walk by these good folks. And I want you to receive peace today. I want you to receive the shalom, the wholeness, the contentment, and the rest of God. Amen. Maybe this is something that your heart has just really been crying for. You want to leave something here. You can leave it here today. Just leave it at the altar. Maybe it's a sin, or maybe someone you can't forgive in your life. Maybe it's a marriage, you're struggling in your marriage. Just come on up to the front and leave it. And receive the peace of Jesus. I'm going to sing a couple quiet songs while we do this.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He gives me his peace. He gives me his peace. He gives me his peace. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. God is so good.
Sing it with me.
God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. Sing it again. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, he's so good to me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Just lay it down. Lay your burden down. Alleluia. Just give it to Jesus. Alleluia. 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 How I love him. How I love him. Alleluia. How I love him. 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 He's my Savior. 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 Alleluia. 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 Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Create me. And renew a right spirit within me. Thank you, Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit within me. Just receive the peace. The shalom of God. The peace of God rest upon you from above. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Thank you, Jesus. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me. Just come to Jesus.
You know that Jesus is calling you, right? Jesus wants to touch you. Jesus wants to tell you, my peace I give you. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will seek your face with all of my heart. And I will seek your face with all of my strength. And I will seek your face with all of my mind. You are my Lord. God bless you. I mean it, not just his words. God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. More of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my strength. I will worship you with all of my mind. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you. Come and dwell among
all of us who sing this song, come into this place. Come on, every face, come and dwell among us all. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come into this place. Come and dwell among all of us who sing this song. Come into this place. Come into this place. Come and dwell among your people. Holy Spirit, come. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God.
You know what, just sing it.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. We exalt thee, we exalt thee. We exalt thee, oh Lord. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, oh Lord. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me.
God is so good.
God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good to me. 'Cause he died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. So good to me.
Jeff, can you play some music just quietly?